Good afternoon, everyone, and greetings to those on the webcast. So the Bible has a lot to say about perseverance. But I'm going to tell you up front, that isn't going to be my subject. But we need to look at the subject of perseverance briefly as an introduction to what I will be talking about. James, Peter, Paul, and even Jesus had explicit admonishments about the need for perseverance. What is perseverance? Well, one definition is a steadfast determination to achieve a goal in spite of obstacles that may get in the way. It means doing something in spite of difficulty or delay in achieving success. It is a very positive word about an aspect of our Christian life, the need to overcome and endure to the end. Patient endurance, but always making progress. When life knocks us down, we get back up again. We find ways around the problem. We rely on God to not test us beyond what we are able and to always provide a way to escape. We persevere in our goal of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The focus of perseverance is endurance. It is very much a mindset. But there is another word that is very similar to perseverance, both in its appearance and its meaning. That word is the real subject of my message today, and that word is persistence. Persistence is so similar that is often used interchangeably. But there are subtle differences that create a distinction. Persistence is not always positive. For instance, it usually involves a stubborn determination to succeed in making something happen, whether that was a good thing to do or not. The obstacles are often not just things and difficulties that get in the way, but sometimes they take the form of outright rejection from people. And the means of accomplishing the goal isn't necessarily to look for another way. It is the philosophy that if at first you don't succeed, try again. If persistence is a mindset, or if perseverance is a mindset, persistence is mostly action. Let's illustrate with some examples. A debt collector isn't usually persevering. He is being persistent. He'll stubbornly harass a debtor to wear him out. Not necessarily a positive thing for the debtor, but it is effective sometimes. Telemarketers and salesmen repeat the same lines over and over to different people or even the same person to make a sale. That's persistence. And then there are our children. They want to do something, or they want something. The nagging you get as a parent is not really perseverance, it's persistence. And it succeeds. Just often enough, it seems, to get the job done. The main problem with persistence is that it can backfire. While perseverance usually heads toward a good outcome, persistence can end up as just beating your head against a wall. Some things cannot be achieved by just trying again, and stubborn persistence can be a real problem. We know the Bible admonishes us to persevere, but what does the Bible have to say about persistence? You may be surprised to learn that the King James translators didn't even use the word persistence. The translators of the New King James Version used it four times, once in the New Testament. So let's look at that one occasion. Turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11, of course, I'll be reading from the New King James for the most part. The chapter starts with Jesus giving the model prayer, and his first words after giving the prayer occur in verse 5. It says, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. What kind of friend is this? He comes knocking at his door at midnight to wake him up. And the man's response is, go away. He says, come back in the morning. And then in verse 8 it says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The direct tie-in with prayer is obvious. Not only is it right after the model prayer, but Jesus continues in the next verse by saying, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And after talking about how the Father wants to give us good things, he says, or how we give our good things to our children, then he says in verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good thing, gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When it comes to prayer, Jesus wants us to be persistent. And he illustrated this in his dealings with some of the people he came in contact with. Let's go to John 4. Go to John 4. This is early in his ministry. And he's returning to Galilee from Jerusalem. He passes through Samaria and then comes to Cana. And in verse 46, we read, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. Now, this is about 25 miles away, so this guy is pretty intent on getting something done. And he implores him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Well, Jesus says to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you by no means believe. This was not exactly a friendly reception that he was giving this man. Why would Jesus do this? Well, I suggest it's to test this man's resolve, to test his persistence, to be recorded as an example for us. And the man would not back down. And he says, the nobleman says to him in verse 49, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus said, spoke to him, and he went his way. So here's an example of this man being persistent in traveling to see Jesus and in not taking no for an answer. I would guess, looking at the next story, that this is one of the most emotional stories in the Bible. It occurs in Matthew 15. Frankly, I have a difficult time reading the story, but at the risk of breaking down, I'd like to read it anyway. So we're going to go to Matthew 15. And in verse 21, Matthew 15, 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. Now, in the book of Mark, in that account, it makes it plain that she didn't just ask once. Mark says she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And then when Jesus ignored her, she just kept asking. It annoyed the disciples. So we see here in the continuation of verse 23, his disciples came and had urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But she answered and said, or he answered and said, so he finally says something, and this is what he says to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's an even less friendly response than with the man who wanted his son healed. She came and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Talk about the need for persistence. She responds and says, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Finally, Jesus breaks down. He says to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus could have said, "Great is your persistence." But persistence is often a matter of faith. Jesus tells us to pray, believing that we will receive what we ask. And he tells us to be persistent at it. Now, I said the New King James translators used persistent once in the New Testament. They use it only once in the actual text, but some versions contain headings for sections of Scripture. And one of those headings is at the beginning of Luke 18. So if your Bible has, if you have a New King James and you have headings, you will see that although this is what we often think of as the parable of the unjust judge, that isn't the title that they gave to the parable. They called it the parable of the persistent widow, a totally different and appropriate focus, and I might say more accurate. In verse 1, Luke says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." In other words, be persistent, the focus being on the widow, not the judge. In verse 2, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, her persistence, she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him?'" This is expected behavior. We should be persistent in crying out to him when we need help from God, though he bears long with him. He says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Notice again the connection with faith. The nobleman believed Jesus. The Gentile woman was commended for her great faith. And here Jesus wonders if there will be faith on the earth when he comes. But all of this is in connection with persistence in prayer. As I said earlier, there are differences between perseverance and persistence. We don't really persevere in prayer. We persist in our prayer. Perseverance is for the long haul. With perseverance, we never quit. Persistence, on the other hand, is often temporary, short-term, intense, and there are times to stop. David fasted and prayed that his son would not die, in spite of the fact that God said he would. He persistently beseeched God for an entire week, hoping he would change his mind. But God's answer became clear with the child's death, and David moved on. Paul pleaded with God 3 times to remove the thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, before God gave an answer. "No, Paul, not this time. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," as we read in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And Paul accepted that. And then there's the example of Jesus. 3 times he went to God in long, heartfelt prayer that if there was any way other than the torture he had to go through, could we do it differently? And if not, could he have strength to go through with it? This was not perseverance, but he persisted for 3 hours, ultimately receiving his answer. Sometimes persistence has to end. And so he went ahead with the plan. Persistence isn't always good, of course. God condemned Israel for persisting in their unfaithfulness, and the kings of Israel were condemned for persisting in the sin of Jeroboam. But there are times when a stubborn persistence for a right goal is what we need for the moment. This may be true in our interactions with people, but even more so with God. It is apparent that God values persistence. And why? Well, God wants to know how badly we want something. Do we really, really want it? Or was it a passing desire? He also wants us to know, he wants to know if we have the faith to keep pursuing it. Prayer is one situation where Jesus taught that persistence can not only be a good thing, but at times it can be essential. Some of our prayers will never be answered if we aren't persistent. Would the nobleman or Gentile woman have had their prayer answered if they had just accepted the initial answer? And finally, some things take time. We don't lose weight if we aren't persistent. We don't learn a skill or language unless we are persistent. And we don't develop character without persistently working on it. So I leave you this encouragement. As we persevere in our drive toward the kingdom, let us also be persistent in our prayers and godly actions.